In 1906, an American astronomer by the name of Percival Lowell began his search for a planet beyond Neptune. Based on calculations from the believed irregularities in the orbits of Uranus and Neptune, Lowell and his team pursued the possible trans-Neptunian planet that he was convinced lurked on the edge of our solar system. Unfortunately, Lowell would die before he was able to discover the object of his search was the dwarf planet known as Pluto. In recent years, the possibility of another orbiting body has been raised by groups of scientists around the world. Some astronomers believe this object that could possibly be as large as Neptune may be orbiting through the Kuiper Belt, where the leftovers of our solar system's formation lay. The existence of this shadowy planet is not doubted by those who believe that we will be able to observe it moving through our sky, as it will one day pass close enough to Earth to trigger a global cataclysm. This case file joined the theorists as they rock, then they roll, then they let it pop, and then they let it go in Planet X.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 160, Planet X. Gonna give it to you. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Just give me the green light.
He's ready to go. Welcome to Spotify exclusive Alien Theorist Theorizing. Thanks for following us over to Spotify. Tonight we talk about Planet Nibiru, Planet X.
Planet X.
We'll give it to you. Tons of different things.
But before we start, I got a quick story
I gotta tell.
Yeah?
He's gotta.
I was fishing with Mr. Conspiracy the other day. This is fucking...
Oh, this is going to be great already.
Phenomenal. We're fishing. We go river fishing. We head down to the river. We got a couple of beers, of course. We're crushing a couple. Ask me how much I know about river fishing.
How much do you know about river fishing?
Nothing. I had not a clue. So we go down there. We got our just whatever, our regular rods that we used to like lake fish in. And this river's connected to the ocean. And there's big fucking fish in it. So we like head down there. We're like, oh yeah, we'll just cast in. So we spread out. He's casting in. I go down the river a little bit. We don't have any hip waders. So we're just standing on the shore. We're just doing casts in and then slowly reeling in. No big deal. It's pretty fun. Just we're mainly drinking beers. All of a sudden, Mr. Conspiracy, I hear this ka-plunk, and I see this big splash. I look back up and he's like, oh fuck, he's reeling in like mad. I'm like, oh fuck, he caught a lake sturgeon. Lock Nessie, he's got her. He's fuck, like he's going nuts. I thought for sure, I was like, oh shit, like I thought I was reeling in really fast because I thought I was gonna have to go help him. All of a sudden he pulls in his line, just rips out of the water and goes sailing past him, and I'm like, oh, you got one, man? Did it get off? And he goes, no, fuck, my shoe. I went, what do you mean? He goes, my shoe. I look in the middle of the river and up pops, bloop, a little Nike shoe.
What?
Just is floating down the middle of the river. And this is unbelievable. He's standing there with one shoe on. And I go, how did you even cast that out there? He goes, I don't know. But somehow he went to cast, whipped it back, hooked his foot that he lifted to throw, hooked the bottom of his sole, pulled his shoe off, and threw his shoe into the middle of the river. Now, if you're following us on social media, I'm going to post this picture on Instagram for you of Mr. Conspiracy when I dropped him off at home in sheer embarrassment when he was wearing just a single shoe.
Again,
he was wearing these shoes and somehow he cast a shoe off his foot into the middle of the river.
That's impossible. How is that even happening?
Not maybe for Mr. Conspiracy.
No, no, no. Maybe it's not impossible. Maybe that's why all these random fucking shoes keep washing up on BC shores. All right. Maybe that's what fucking happens.
It's not rare at all. True this story. Happens all the time. But we're talking about Planet Nibiru tonight. Planet X.
Planet X. Sometimes
much talked about.
Sometimes misconstrued. The two seem to be interchangeable. However, they are not quite the same. Planet Nibiru, if you go back way back in our catalog to Case File 22, we talked about the Anunnaki, and that is their home planet, according to Zachariah Sitchin. Is it Sitchin? Stitchin.
Sitchin.
Yeah.
Sitchin.
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 Granddaddy of, pretty much granddaddy of ancient aliens.
Yeah, 100%.
You guys want a little background on this planet here? You want some of this?
Let's hear it.
Please.
You want me to give it to you? You want Mr. Worldwide to elaborate a little bit on it?
Planet X, please, to give it to you,
Mr. All Worldwide.
All right, got you.
We give you the green light, sir.
Nibiru was a bountiful planet in the Chomwell sector of the mid-rim, close to the border of the Outer Rim territories. It was home to the Gungan species and to a population of humans known as the Naboo. Naboo was pushed to the forefront of the galactic politics at the birthplace of the Dark Lord of the Sith, Palpatine. You guys listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah,
I don't see anybody being surprised here. This is pretty good stuff.
You're right on the money, I think.
Well, everybody knows that Star Wars is a documentary, so.
Well, obviously. Stuff to live by.
You want me
to keep going, or are you good?
Are you going to keep going? I'm into the story.
You're completely off. What, did you study Star Wars for this
shit? I think that Planet Naboo. Actually,
you're talking
Andrew's
about Planet Naboo.
Confused Naboo. Nibiru with Planet X, whereas Planet X is home to the Zalian extraterrestrial species who were unfortunate enough to encounter King Ghidorah and asked the Japanese for their help by shipping over Rodan and Godzilla in order to combat King Ghidorah. When they were able to figure out a way to get Ghidorah and Rodan over to Planet X, the Zalian homeworld, the Zalians took control of Rodan and Ghidorah via mind control and then used them to wreak havoc on Tokyo.
This is better than Star Wars.
Here's the thing. I have absolutely no idea if you're talking about this case file or making shit up. It sounds exactly like 90% of the shit we talk about.
That 100% happened in Toho production. So.
I'm not surprised.
Man, we're on to some good shit here tonight.
Also, the Zalians are the origin of Gigan, the cyborg monster from the Toho collection.
So, where's Mothra
one of my
from?
Favorite ones. He's got a buzzsaw on his chest.
Dope.
Blades badass. For arms. Cyclops eye beams. But if we're talking about Planet X specifically, the one that is also has a loose connection to Nibiru, and the two often are confused, or people often interchange the two names. Planet X is the name given to this rogue planet that is somewhere out in our solar system that has not been found yet by modern humans, and is predicted or has been predicted in the past, actually multiple times and a few times, to have come in close contact. It's supposed to come in close contact or impact the Earth at some point, creating a doomsday scenario where our planet is either thrown off its axis, magnetic poles are shifted. I don't know. The moon is split in two. We got a Thundar the Barbarian situation going on. Not really sure. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on.
So,
but there's a lot to unpack with this one.
That's the connection to Sitchin's Nibiru, is that it has this weird long orbit. And that's about as far as the connection really goes, because this one is more connected to a doomsday scenario where it destroys Earth or makes Earth uninhabitable in some fashion, whereas Nibiru is the home of the great and powerful Anunnaki alien overlords who instilled civilization, if we go that route. But case file 22, yeah. Go back and listen.
Yeah. Is there not also like, you know, I know there's a cataclysm, but there's also a group to say that like potentially it's a global awakening. Like maybe it's not a cataclysm, but it's a global awakening. Is that more Nibiru? Is that Planet X, or is that somewhere fall in the little gray area between the two?
You'd have to define which following that is, because the Planet X seems to be wholly a creation by one Nancy Leader, who is a self-described psychic. And she is a...
yeah, me too.
Same.
I know, on multiple occasions you have proclaimed your psychic abilities. But she has claimed that she was contacted during her teenage years. Actually, before that, according to her official biography written by her, she says that she was, I guess you could say, reincarnated. She gave the go ahead, or her soul somehow acquiesced to being reincarnated into the body of Nancy Leader to be the sole intermediary between humans and the Zeta aliens, or aliens from the area of Zeta Reticuli. Definitely Zeta Reticuli has played a part in a couple of other conspiracies that we've gone down before.
Now this makes a lot of sense to me, because you have this really advanced civilization that they're like, listen, we really need to contact someone on this planet. We really need to reach out. So we're going to reach out to this random fucking woman in Wisconsin who is potentially a psychic, and we're going to fucking give her all the world secrets, and she's going to be the one that gets the truth out. That means a lot. That makes a lot of sense. I get it.
Well, of course. Yeah. And to clarify, she doesn't, when she talks about her communication with these Zeta Reticuli aliens, they're not exactly 100% accurate. She says that it's more like they give her impressions of what she is supposed to say. So I think she has described it as much as being shown flashcards of like pictures in her mind. It's not so much like they give her cue cards or words to say, or she's not exactly like a medium. They don't speak through her. They kind of just give her an impression, and she can only communicate to these aliens what the concepts that she understands herself prior to communication. So if you were to ask her about quantum physics, or ask them about their understanding, like, you know, how to travel faster than light speed, she wouldn't be able to convey that. So therefore they wouldn't understand what she sent it to them. And then it wouldn't work.
So are you saying these Zeta Reticuli are dropping breadcrumbs similar to Q, and then you have to put these breadcrumbs together based on your own knowledge, and that's how you get...
Wow.
Basically what I think is happening is these aliens are showing up in her bedroom, and just like what is fucking Pictionary, they show up and they're like two words. First word. And then they start mimicking things, and she's got to fucking guess them.
They're just doing like, body rolls.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. What. Second word. No.
Move on. Next one.
It could be something like that. It could be some sort of a cosmic game of charades. Not really sure. Or they charades. Just get tired at some point and not being able to communicate through her. But she made her predictions, or she started making predictions about Planet X shooting through the orbit of Earth, or coming down through the orbit of Earth, back as early as 1995. And when she started kind of somehow, I can guess how 1995, birth of the internet, information is becoming much more available to people. She used, I guess she could kind of either used or identified, that there seemed to be, or there was seemingly a increase in cataclysmic events. There were increases in earthquakes or volcanic eruptions or things like that, where it actually wasn't that, or people got the impression of that, because again, like I said, this is the birth of the internet. So you have so much information coming in, and we have access to so much information that you'd be like, oh, I heard there was a volcano yesterday. And like, yeah, there's pretty much constant volcanic activity somewhere in the world all the time.
We live on a planet that's floating. The crust is floating on magma all the time.
Yeah, it's a living, breathing planet.
So your pronunciation is terrible. It's magma.
Magma. Okay, so let's just take, that's why I want a quick summary of this girl. So this girl, Nancy, she... How old was she when she started getting these premonitions?
She says that she was enhanced in her 20s during a type of surgery that these aliens took her, and that she met a group of aliens from many different planets she claims were within the Zeta Reticuli star system. Okay. And they implanted a bit of their DNA into the telepathic regions of her brain.
So they hybridized this girl's brain with parts of their DNA, making her telepathic to be able to receive signals.
Right. And now, she didn't realize that she had that ability until her 50s.
So when she's 20, these Zeta Grays come down or bring her up. It doesn't specify exactly. They alter her brain so she can receive signals, but she doesn't receive exact signals. She can only understand what she already knows. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes. She can only transmit to them. She's an intermediary, or she compares herself more to like a literal translator. She's like, I can only communicate to them the things that I understand. So again, like if you asked her about, you know, quantum physics, like what are their understandings of quantum physics? How do they travel these vast distances? How do they communicate?
Right.
You know, via telepathy, how does that work? And if she doesn't understand those concepts, she can't communicate to them what, you know, what it is. So that then the aliens aren't able to properly respond.
For example, it'd be like if this show Dan wasn't here, but Dan would call me and tell me what I need to know before I come on the show. And then I would try to rehash what Dan has explained to me, yet I know nothing. So I wouldn't be able to explain it.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down here. Now, what did I read about this girl? So she almost 30 years before she realizes she can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is when she says she meets like a alien hybrid kind of creature. And this is when she leaves her husband and job and starts to pursue just like the truth of these Zetas.
Right. So in addition to her, these aliens unlocking her telepathic potential, she was also the subject of hybrid alien children experiments, apparently. She was, she gave birth, apparently, or maybe not gave birth, but was they used her DNA to create hybrid alien children. And after she met one of these, I believe that it's her. She claims that she felt, you know, that she... She felt that her understanding of the universe has transformed and that, you know, she needs to go on and spread the good news that there are aliens out there trying to talk through her through flashcards of some sort.
So these guys can travel. They can travel from planet to planet, all that type of shit. But yet they can't find a better way to communicate with her other than fucking like vague symbols and leave that for her to interpret.
Like, well, maybe there's... Like the evolution is so different between species that the telepathic connection is the only thing that works. Maybe if they like, they can't write anything down. They can't like, number one, this girl is not a mathematician or some type of scientist who could understand like,
and let's be realistic here. Let's be realistic. Let's say for a second that aliens visited us, or Andrew, say you got picked up by aliens. And they're just standing in the room and you like, you don't know how to talk to them. You're like, hey, and they like, they're obviously not responding to your vocalizations. Eventually you're going to dumb down communications until you can communicate. Like, you know, you could do a little circle followed by a circle with a circle to like show that we're on the third rock from the sun, you know, a couple of one and ones plus two, like basic math. Like you're going to dumb it down so you can explain to these things that you are at some level intelligent. If you couldn't talk to them, like you would have to dumb it down. If you couldn't use your primary communication techniques, you would have to dumb it down to some level where you're like, are you getting this? And then
if they're advanced enough to fucking get to the planet, and you know what I mean? Like, I just have a hard time believing that they wouldn't have found a way to better communicate to this woman.
All right, I'll give you a counterpoint to that. We are excellent. We like think about our technology now. When I lived in Thailand, when I first dropped in Thailand, I couldn't talk to anyone.
Yeah, well, you should have got fucking Google Translate, and you would have had no problem.
It wasn't like it is now.
You fucking, like, there would be a method. There is translation fucking tactics that
yes,
you could have.
But what I'm saying is that if they dropped down or they picked you up from Earth and they were trying to communicate with you, we don't even know their level of communication, right? Maybe they're communicating, like, if it's maybe telepathic communication is like us doing sign language, basically, right? Like, that's not their primary form, but they've realized that that's a way that they can communicate with us is through this way, rudimentary.
Well, they had to hybridize her first, though. It's not like they just could do it. They had to implant their DNA into this girl so she could receive the telepathic communication.
So true. She's got their DNA, so she would be able to adapt to their, you know, ways of communication if it's telepathic.
Well, not exactly. There, I mean, you could probably argue on some level that it is perhaps some type of like quantum communication where, you know, scientists now, they just did an experiment just the other day where they have like you've quantum linked like two objects. So therefore, like you do something to one object, it happens to another object, you know, a certain distance apart.
You got
to
dumb it down for me a little bit. Is it like when you had your Game Boys and you got that cool cord and you could plug it in from the other Game Boy and trade Pokemon?
Almost. Yeah, the link cable. Okay. Beauty. Yeah,
so remember you like trade that. Raichu and he evolved. It was badass.
Well, yeah, something like that, I guess. But, you know, instead of that, you use pieces of DNA where you would have, you know, if you have a piece of their DNA or you have a piece of another creature's DNA, I don't know how the aliens would work, but, you know, there could probably be some argument where you could say that, you know, by placing some of their DNA in her telepathic regions, they're able to, you know, telepathic communication, where, you know, you input information into one DNA, the exact same, you know, if it had the exact same composition of the one that she has, and then it instantaneously across the universe is like placed into that one. Therefore she understands and communication takes place. There's experiments going on now with quantum, you know, teleportation and instantaneous transmission of, you know, of particles.
Mind you,
it may be something like that.
This would be the same, like she buys into the same theories that Sitchin was kind of selling too, right? Like she says these are the same aliens that Sitchin was talking about.
She and claims.
It is those aliens, they've already visited Earth. They've already integrated with humans on Earth. So fucking rights, they would know the language, would they not?
I'm not necessarily sure that she says that they are the same aliens that Sitchin's work put through. That not necessarily the Anunnaki. I think she linked Nibiru, perhaps. Like, I don't think the two things are like. Sitchin definitely denied a connection between the two.
I don't blame him.
She definitely said that, you know, her planet X, the harbinger of Armageddon that was going to crush our planet harbinger or smash into our planet, she referred to it as Planet X. Eventually it became Nibiru. Either she became aware of Sitchin's work or, you know, maybe it was easier to identify it as that, but
more wider appeal if you called it Nibiru based on his books, even though it might not have been.
It's true.
Get some more recognition.
And to be honest, and since since we did Pluto dirty, Planet Nine just doesn't have the same ring.
Nope. Definitely not.
Goddamn scroopy noopers. Ruined everything for Pluto.
Draining their core, shrinking their planet, knocks it right out of the ballpark. It's not even a planet anymore. Pluto's not a fucking planet.
Don't listen to Jerry.
Nancy definitely got these communications from the Zeta, or she claims that she got communications from the Zeta Reticuli.
Right around the time she had her midlife crisis and left her husband and her fucking kid.
Right. I don't have the divorce paperwork in front of me, but maybe somewhere around 1995, that this Planet X that was hanging around our solar system on the outskirts somewhere and apparently had a orbital year that is something around like 3,657 years.
Yeah, she found Sitchin's work, and that's that orbital, the long elliptical orbit of Nibiru is the same, 3,600 years.
Right. So, and she gave a deadline of this of this planet coming around and causing havoc on Earth. And she gave the deadline of around May 15th in 2003 with the that's when things would start. And then she said the closest approach of the planet would be May 27th of that same year. So, you know, within the 15th, that 2 weeks, you know, shit was going to get fucked up. Like, that was, it could be the total end of situation. We're going to be riding around on crazy horses with our fabulous sun swords and Ookla the Mock and Thundar the Barbarian. Shit's going to be going down hard. Like, that was her whole thing. That was
what
her shtick.
What was the date she said?
That was May 15th to May 27th, 2003.
First date. So she's...
Oh, so she was wrong.
So she was claiming that this planet on its long elliptical orbit was going to enter the inner solar system, not necessarily colliding with Earth, but becoming close enough that the gravitational effect would either cause a pole shift or change the weather so dramatically that the world would become... It's the apocalypse, pretty much. Doomsday.
Yeah, that's very much how she presented the scenario. Like, things were gonna, the poles were gonna shift, you know, tidal waves, earthquakes, tectonic plates breaking apart.
Is that just because the gravitational pull from this planet coming so close would just fucking devastate? Like, was that the theory?
Yeah, that was kind of her theory. It was just gonna wreck everything. I think it would, the pole flip, I think, was the main point of her thing, and that would cause a whole bunch of, like, you know, shifting of the electromagnetic field of Earth.
But honestly, if the poles flipped right now, what would happen? Like, what would change in my day-to-day life? Would I just be like, my compass is pointing south?
Well, I think the poles have flipped before, and I think they're not excessively worried about a pole flip in the future.
I know the magnetic north shifts from time to time, and it has shifted
it's always changing. Every year, the thing, like, it drifts quite a bit, like 20 miles or something, like every year. So GPS is always like taking that into account and updating constantly. But yeah, the poles flip. So 780,000 years ago, the poles weakened and temporarily and rapidly flipped. So
I'm not 100% sure on, like, okay, so yes, there is evidence that the poles have shifted at some point in our planet's history. How that would affect life on our day-to-day basis, biological life, you know, as a whole, I'm not really sure, unless it was something like, you know, if we, you know, the worst thing that could probably happen to us is that we lose our electromagnetic field. Like, if we completely lost our EM field, like, we'd be unprotected by, you know, solar radiation, gamma radiation, all of that nasty
for a short period of time,
just floating around space. Like, we'd
be Planet Hulk, basically. We'd
be Planet Tumor is what we would. Planet Cancer. That's what we would be.
I don't know that for sure.
But if the poles shifted, I'm not sure 100, it might affect a lot of our electronics, like, because our society is so dependent on the kind of technologies that we have now, it might be something of an inconvenience. It might be some kind of crisis, but I don't think it would be something completely unrecoverable.
No, I don't. I think, yeah, the technology, because I'm sure while the poles are shifting, like, the magnetic field is probably, I don't know, it probably weakens a bit. But that's not our only shield against all that stuff. Like atmosphere and stuff would still play a little bit of a part. So I don't know. Right. I don't know if that, like, so I think the science is still up in the air if, like, it dramatically shifted quickly.
There'd be a lot of people with shitty tattoos out there. All you guys with your compasses and shit, you'd be fucked.
Yeah, north is south, south is north. But, or is it, or would north be east now? And, like, how would that, where would they flip? Would they completely flip, or they'd flip a little bit? Or, like,
I guess that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, if they flip, like, do would our compasses just point? Would they continue to point to what we think is north?
No, I mean, they would move. Like, if magnetic north moved, then
the compass would point north, wherever the north would be, wherever the poles would rotate.
Yeah. So you just have to be aware that, you know, Florida is now north and, you know, Canada is south.
Yeah, south. We'd be officially South America.
Be the clean South.
Yeah,
I think if what I think would happen if a giant, like, body came into close proximity with Earth, like say it came like really close, like say almost as close as the moon or something, it would pull the moon out of orbit, which would affect the tides, which would affect all weather on the planet, which would probably pull the Earth out of its orbit a little bit, which would affect like the distance from the sun. And that would cause like a cascading effect of like just utter chaos. More than
I think we would have our tides, we would have a rising tide unlike anything that's ever been seen. It would destroy coastal cities.
Yeah, we have the moon now and the Earth is spinning and the moon slowly spins, so that controls the tides. But now add a planet. What does she say it was, like 4 or 6 times the mass of Earth or something?
I think she's kind of changed it over the years. I think
it would literally roll water. Like as the Earth was spinning, the oceans would just roll over all of the land.
I'm picturing Interstellar when they're on that one planet and it's a 1,000-foot tidal wave constantly.
Yeah, basically. It honestly,
it was a perfect
to me,
storm at all times.
All times.
This Jesus. Theory gave credence to like the biblical flood to me. Like when we were reading into it and looking into it, that's what I kept thinking about. I was like, well, maybe this is what caused the biblical flood, is that this, you know, this whatever planet X had come into orbit and it pulled so much water, you know, that the tides, instead of rising whatever 10 feet, rose 100.
Right.
Well, here's my question, Nancy. Why the fuck didn't you build a boat then and start collecting all the animals?
I know. She should have started building it probably in 2002 when she went on Coast to Coast AM. And she stated that for a fact, she was 100% sure that Planet X would be visible in daylight sky for 6 to 7 weeks before passage, that you would be able to see, because any astronomer, even an amateur astronomer, would be able to see a giant planet, you know, hurtling towards Earth, you know, 6 to 7 weeks before passage.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
for sure.
She stated that that was a fact. And George Norrie, you know, God bless him. You know, RIP George Norrie. He asked her, like, are you sure, that that this is going to happen? She didn't change. And she said, yeah, sure thing. You'll be able to see it in the daylight and it'll be as bright as this, like something like a second sun. You'll be able to see it.
Amateur astronomers can see Pluto with backyard telescopes.
Very much.
So
yes,
you can see a planet 4 to 6 times or whatever she claims. You would see it. It'd be visible to the naked eye in the sky, like well before. But I think she went on to say like it was actually hidden behind the sun, like the sun's light was blocking it at one point, and that's why you couldn't see it earlier.
Right. She came back on after, you know, 2003, world didn't end, you know, spoiler. She came back on Coast to Coast AM.
Did George give it to her? Did he give it to her?
You know what? The funny thing is like George is really good at like not. Braden and I talked about Mel's Hole, the whole like Coast to Coast AM saga of Mel's Hole. And George Norrie is just a great guy, just being like, it sounds like he'll believe anything that you put out there, but you know, probably he doesn't really. But she went on in 2005 and she gave the explanation that it didn't end because you couldn't see it. Like the world didn't end, but it actually had gone behind the sun. She describes our solar system. Like she has, I guess she has a very different interpretation of our solar system. Her belief is that our solar system is some type of binary star system where we have both some type of either like a dark sun and a light sun, and you can kind of like see both. But she was saying that that the planet X had passed behind like our one of the suns, and so that's why you weren't able to see it.
So why didn't it blow up the planet though?
It didn't, because she was wrong in the prediction. She was wrong in the prediction.
It wasn't her. It was the aliens that told her. So they were wrong too.
Well, we talked about there's the translations or something. Maybe it was a little bit off and she got the math a little bit wrong. And maybe it was supposed to be not 2003, but maybe 2007.
2007.
That was the next prediction she gave. And also that George W. Bush at the time actually knew about it. And the invasion of Iraq was cover for this coming thing. And that was going to...
Well, everybody knows that Iraq had Stargates. So obviously we had to invade.
Well, yeah, there was supposed to be invasion of Iraq and then martial law in the States, keeping everyone at home. And then it was supposed to... That was it. That was the next prediction.
Could you imagine that? It's funny that you said that because we talked about the Iraqi Stargate. Could you imagine that, like, in 40 years from now, we're talking about the U.S. the same way we talked about Nazi Germany, about, like, how they were into the occult, and that's why the U.S. was going, like, yeah, there was oil, but there was also the theory that they had Stargates, and that's why the U.S. was going in, because George W. Bush was really into the paranormal.
I mean, convince me otherwise. That's all I'm saying.
It's a nice... I like it. I like it a lot. I'll even give it a little piano solo.
Woo. Come back in for ATT episode 2750.
Yeah.
Check back in.
She made another prediction saying that 2000, you know, the Planet X is really coming. It's coming this time. It's 100%. It's going to show up. All of the things that are happening in 2007, you know, the invasion of Iran and Iraq, like those things were indications that things were ramping up, that these actions taken by the government knew about this. Apparently they were going against Reagan's wishes. I guess Reagan had meant to have some type of creeping disclosure to get people ready for the coming apocalypse or the coming arrival of Planet X. And, you know, so this whole thing was that the secret shadow governments were covering up for this, that there were actually... there were secret martial law declared in the United States in 2007. I don't remember that. I don't remember being a 2007 secret martial. I mean, because it's secret martial law. So how would I know?
That was just the implementation of the police state. Militarizing the police is the secret martial law.
Right.
Cracked it.
Because the militarization of the police will help us fight Planet X.
Keep us... I don't know.
Little did she know that it was actually 2008 was the end of my world, because that's the year the Detroit Lions went 0-16 and had the worst record in fucking
that
football
is
history.
The true evidence of Planet X.
Never really recovered since then.
The Sumerians weren't actually writing about the destruction of the planet. They were actually writing about the Lions, the 2008 Lions going 0-16.
Hey, listen, they're cursed.
Why do you
go talk to the Sumerians, man? Maybe they
I'm sure I got a few cousins in fucking Sumer.
You know, translate some tablets. Get out there, man. Indiana Jones it.
I could do it.
Okay, so 2007 comes and goes, obviously. We're still here. So Planet.
Oh, so she's wrong again. She's 0-2.
And she's like, ugh, well.
When's she gonna stop giving dates?
Like, so 2011, she comes back. She comes back and she says that Planet X is still out there. And now she gives a more complete kind of description of what it is, saying that it has 23 times the mass and 4 times the diameter of Jupiter.
Holy shit!
She's saying that this thing is complete with oceans and land masses. And she's
huge. So if it's that big, if it's that fucking big, you're going to see it coming 100%. Nothing is going to fucking hide that.
She calls it a brown dwarf, which is like somewhere in between like a star and a gas giant.
Right. Which astronomers have actually, you know, identified these type of substellar objects and these brown dwarfs, which are kind of the interstitial position between. A gas giant like Jupiter and a star, like you have a brown dwarf that hasn't completely collapsed, I suppose, to turn into a star.
Can we ease it up with this brown dwarf talk? I feel like it's derogatory towards me and Dan. Okay. Fucking save it.
It's science, bitch. Right?
I'm comfortable okay? with my height.
I don't want to hear it anymore. Yeah.
What would you like to, how do you want to PG the brown dwarf? What do you want to call it?
Brown vertically challenged gas giant.
Yeah, brown vertically challenged gassy giant sounds about right.
Beautiful.
So Nancy Leader threw out a couple of photos, and she was saying that these photos taken by people who had no idea what they were looking at. She identified these photos that she got from somewhere, that these were proof that it existed, that you could see Nibiru or Planet X between us and the sun. And that at some point, Planet X had actually stopped Earth in its orbit.
Huh?
Yeah.
Stopped in the orbit?
Yeah, and it somehow disturbed the particle flows from the sun. And, you know, of course, people asked her, you know, why do the stars continue to move from one night to the next, even if the planet has stopped? She didn't really explain that one, though.
So she's saying that this brown dwarf or whatever just vertically challenged planet of color.
Better.
Had stopped Earth in its celestial orbit.
Yeah, that was her. That was her claim. Is that somehow this brown dwarf planet, brown vertically challenged planet, had stopped our planet in its orbit completely, and it just our Earth was not moving anymore.
I mean, she's pretty credible. Like, I know she might have gotten it wrong twice, but she's, you know, like, might as well take her at her word. It sounds legit to me.
I mean, if we're going by Superman the movie physics, then, you know, time would have stopped at that point. I think we would have noticed something. I imagine some sort of Groundhog Day scenario.
Interesting.
Well, I'll say from about that point on, for me at least, it seems like time has gone very fast.
Yeah. Since 2011
to now, yeah, it's been a blink of the eye. What happened?
It was also, it's, you know, funny thing about 2011. 2011, there was only two spotless days of the sun, which meant the sun, like, for solar activity and, like, chance of auroras. 2011 was a fucking prime. If we were doing space news in 2011, every space news would have been like, fucking look outside because there's auroras, motherfucker, every single night, basically. There was high solar activity in 2011, 2012, and 2013.
That was due to this Planet X bumping into the sun a little bit, pulling a little extra solar flares off of it.
Well, if you look at that, let's just look at that for a second. So say she's right.
Just look at it.
So say fucking old Nancy was right, and Planet X Nibiru is coming in, and that affects the sun in some sense. From 2011, we had 2 days of spotless days. 2012, we had 0 days. 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015 were fucking immaculate for auroras. 2016, we had 32 spotless days. 2017, 104 spotless days. 2018, 221 spotless days. 2019, 281 spotless days, and so far in 2020, 203 spotless days. So it was like you can actually see a flex of like solar activity. So like maybe she was onto something. Was it a colored vertically challenged dwarf planet coming into our solar system? Maybe. But you can definitely see a wave of a pattern if you're looking at solar activity. So maybe it not only affects Earth, but also affects solar activity.
I'm so fucking impressed by that little rant that you just went on, because people who are not watching this live stream don't understand the fact that your eyes were not open for that entire thing.
No, they weren't.
You're completely like you're fucking
dialed,
like minutes away from being meat draw.
Oh, 100%.
You got every single one of those words correct. And it was like, here, that was fucking super impressive.
I wish I could replay. What just happened? Can I do that?
It was phenomenal. Look at him.
I can't. Actually, I probably could pull up the stream on the other computer and pull it in and have a replay, but not another time. Okay, so 2011 comes. No collision.
Nothing happens. Well, yeah, then you get 2012. Everybody's super party year. Everybody's favorite year.
Okay, before we get into 2012, which was supposed to be the next end of the... Not just from Planet X... going to give it to you, but from a whole wide range of theories converge in 2012, which we're going to get into right after this beer break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
We're back.
We're back.
All right, so we left off the next major, well, probably the biggest doomsday prediction of our lifetime has been 2012. They've made movies about it, and it was 2012 was supposed to be the end of the Mayan long count calendar.
Right. 2012 was our big one. That was it. Everybody was ready to go at that point, I'm sure. It had been predicted that everybody thought that the Mayans had it right for some reason, or that the doomsday was going to arrive on 2012 in December, specifically the month of December 2012. No apocalypse.
It's okay. Wait. So this is 0-3 or 0-4?
3 or 4.
Might be 4 now for Nancy.
0-4.
But all right. Now this theory goes into, though, because the Mayan long count calendar, the end of that, some people say, like, I know Graham Hancock publicly apologized because in his first book he said that was going, he did also predict, not necessarily in the same fashion, an apocalypse of Nibiru or Planet X, but like an apocalypse of some kind. But now a lot of people have changed tune to say the Mayans didn't predict like a cataclysm. It was just the end of the age, and the new age was like the age of enlightenment and like the age of the awakening, a lot of people are calling it. So Brayden, you were saying at the start, like a lot of people have tied this to like the awakening. And so everything ever since 2012, that has been a thing.
Or,
well, 2012, just to clarify, like the Mayan calendar, which ended its cycle on 2012, was just the end of that period.
Of that age.
You know, just how like every calendar that you buy that has, you know, a specific breed of dog or supercars every month,
Dan,
like, or the ATT, you know,
every calendar, every calendar I've ever bought gives me at least 2 years into the next year. Or 2 months into the next year.
It's hilarious because it's just like, what do you do with those calendars? Well, you toss them out and buy a new one.
Yeah. So people say it's not a doomsday. It's just the start of the next age, the next long count.
Right. It's just the start of the next cycle.
Yeah. Could you imagine you buy your fucking sweet like kitty calendar? You got cool kitties like water skiing and knitting and doing cool sports and stuff like that. And then you hit December and you go to flip the next one and it's not there. There's nothing there. It's it. The fucking world's over.
No more fucking kitties.
Man, that's it. No tragic kitties, no life. I don't want to live. I don't want it. I don't want to live. If this is a life that you're giving me, no more kitties, I don't want to live.
Yeah, but how do you feel about this? How do you feel about now, you know, obviously we're in 2020, the real end times, and people are saying that the 2020 calendar without like, you know, added leap years and shit like that would have actually fell on 2020.
I think that's just moving the goalposts.
So the 2012 yeah. apocalypse, if you take into consideration some discrepancies in the counting of the calendar, could actually be determined that it could have landed in 2020. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
I would contest with that, because the fact that the Mayan and Aztec calendars were pretty much accurate to the day in terms of celestial body movements, like you could, they were right on with a number of solar eclipses. Like they could predict solar eclipses. And if you're going to tell me that their calendar was off,
no,
by like
our calendar,
8 years,
our calendar's off. Their calendar was correct.
Their calendar was precise, Dan. our fucking kitty cat counter as
Oh, you're talking about the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah,
like
our calendar was off.
Gregorian calendar is like
and the, so the conversion of the Mayan long count, which was to the T, to our calendar, which has been changed by it was changed by emperors back in the day. It's been changed a few times. Maybe we lost. There's a case file we want to do is the phantom time hypothesis as well in the future. But so maybe. Because let's face it, 2020 is the closest prediction to apocalypse we've got so far. We've got global pandemic.
But there's and okay, I would say, all right.
Closest.
Sure.
The closest we got so far.
It looks weird. You know, shit is weird right now, but it's not celestial level stuff.
Unless,
not like
Dan, it's only October. We got 2 months, motherfucker.
So if in the 2 months that I'm proven wrong, sure. But for right now,
what I'm pretty if sure, Dan? But, what if the celestial body, like this, like she said, does not emit light? It's a dark matter sun, a dark matter something. We can't detect it with modern technology. It's flying in right now. It's coming closer. It's knocking off. It's changing the poles slightly. The poles are starting to accelerate. They're starting to flip.
There's more water in everyone's brains than ever before. That's why everyone's acting crazy.
Okay, even if it were a dark planet, you would still be able to see it because there would be parts of the sky that would be obscured by this dark object that doesn't reflect light, I suppose. Like if you were to go ahead and say that, you were to give that theory credence, and you're going to be like, okay, allow for that this planet is speeding through and it's weird, you know, holy, you know, absolutely impossible orbit. And it is shooting through our planet's orbit close enough to somehow disturb our, you know, I don't know, produce the effects of all the crazy stuff that's going on right now. You'd still be able to see it. You would just be like, okay, there are some stars that I can't see today.
No.
Why is that happening?
I got it. I got an answer to that as well. It's not necessarily a planet. It's the Zeta Reticuli. It's a spaceship and it has active camouflage on it. So whatever's behind it, it just transmits to the front. So you think like you can't see it no matter what, because there's stars. It eclipses the stars. But then the active camouflage of the spaceship planet puts those stars on front, so you can never see it. And in that case, this girl could be right.
For the first time in
so
four
then
guesses.
You'd have to ask yourself the question: why the Zeta Reticuli are flying a planet-sized a planet-sized spaceship with active camouflage would probably require power supply of
a Death Star.
You know, absolutely. Enormous size. Why would you waste your resources or your energy sources on a giant active camouflage spaceship?
So you can get close enough to blow up the planet. We said Star Wars was a documentary.
We did.
Death Star.
Right. And the Death Star didn't need active camouflage. You're just like, that's
yeah,
no moon.
Yeah, and that's
and
why the fucking
Alderaan's
rebels
gone.
Blew it up, Dan.
Yeah,
exactly.
They left that one vent open.
They blew it.
And then the whole
that
thing
was
got
just
blown
bad
up.
Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I didn't make the theory up. I'm just trying to come from all angles with this girl here, trying to help her out.
Trying to help Nancy out because she needs it.
She's been wrong
a
few
times.
But yeah, I'm just saying 2020 is the closest prediction so far. There's a global pandemic, at least. There's one thing. But yes, it's not caused by a celestial body that we can see.
There's not an increase in tectonic activity. There's not an increase in any of these weird things that she said were going to happen.
I didn't actually check that. Is tectonic activity stable? I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I didn't
tell you.
I have no. I don't more to check.
I don't
that.
Know. I haven't checked.
Raiden hasn't checked. You didn't deep dive into Earth's tectonic activity.
No, unfortunately.
Volcanic eruptions and the like, earthquakes.
No, of all the things I deep dived into, that I missed the tectonic activity.
Okay, now so. We kind of skipped. There's one more guy who claims some predictions.
So you have another personality David Mead, who is a self-proclaimed Christian numerologist, which is not a real thing and doesn't really exist.
It's not legit. Sounds super legit.
Too legit. You lost me, Dan. You lost me at Christian.
He cites verses in Luke 21, 25, 26, and he says that these are sign of recent events. That there is a he cited in 2017, the solar eclipse around that time, Hurricane Harvey. He said that these are all signs of the apocalypse. He claimed that the world was going to end in September 23rd, 2017. He attributed this to a planetary alignment that was going to happen. He tried to use this to support his claims. Of course, I guess he didn't really check his calendar or anything, because the planetary alignments that he claimed were going to be the end of the, you know, civilization as we know it, had happened four times in the past 1,000 years, and nobody had given a fuck.
No. But this is the verse that he made his whole claim on. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
Well, to his credit, everything that was written in the Bible has happened and is real, so you can't blame him.
It's the oldest encyclopedia in the earth ever known.
It's weird because I'm like, the only thing
Did you say encyclopedia or did you say fairy tale book?
I meant encyclopedia. Did I say fairy tale
book?
Are
you telling me that a man named Samson didn't beat a bunch of guys, like hundreds of dudes to death with the jawbone of an ass? Are you telling me that it didn't actually happen?
Dan, until he got a fucking haircut.
Samson was a giant.
Hundreds of dudes. Hundreds of Philistines.
Yeah. Dead. Well, don't get a haircut. Jawbone. Rule of story.
Ass. Sweet.
Don't.
You know, that's how I feel every time I get a haircut. I'm like, well, I could fight zero Philistines now.
No, the reason why you're upset after haircuts, because you know you've got like five haircuts left, and that's why you're upset. So
now
don't
imagine you never got a haircut and you got one at like my level of needing a haircut. And then you get a haircut and you're like, and as you're Samson getting your haircut, he's like, ugh. Makes a couple of tight grins.
And then they get Braden's little haircut punch card and it's like, oh fuck, I only got four haircuts left and that's it. And then you get upset. It's
normal. Then you just go either shave or buzz cut. But the only thing to me that gives, like, for the Christian angle at all, this guy was like, David Mead to me is fucking crazy, first off. But the fact that they're like in the Bible, they talk about a great flood and stuff. I'm like, okay, that's the only thing in the Bible where you could make an argument to me. Like, the Bible predicts planet X based on this, the great flood. That's because there's another planet that comes and pulls the tide so far out that it's unlike anything we've ever seen. If you told me that, I would go, okay.
Wasn't it rain in the Bible? Isn't it rain that causes?
Yeah, it's rain.
Floods?
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's
going to rain.
Rain every day until it floods. But you know what I mean? But if the Bible was like, no, that's due to another planet that is on its way, I'd be more inclined to believe that than it's going to rain every day.
Is it another flat fucking planet that's coming towards Earth to hide God?
Well, hey,
maybe it's a disc planet coming on edge.
It's so flat. It's such on an edge that you can't see it.
And right before it hits us, it just turns its face.
Gotcha,
fucks
bitch.
Fucks up our whole shit.
I had a point to make to that. What was I about to say? Oh, okay. So I knew I could break it tied in somehow. Graham Hancock talks about Younger Dryas.
I knew it. I fucking knew it. I said it. I knew it.
Think about this, though. You had this celestial body. It doesn't get close enough to affect the Earth's tides or anything, but it's pulling along with it a trail of debris. And this debris is what crashes into the ice caps.
I like it.
causing massive global floods. Rapid weather change might result in worldwide rain for God knows how long, raising sea levels 300 feet seemingly overnight. Maybe this is that's the only thing I could say is because they think it's a comet that like a fragmented comet strikes the polar ice caps, right? Causing like massive onset global climate change. But maybe it wasn't a comet. The comet was just trailing planet X. And that was now four cycles ago. And 2020, I'll make a prediction. December 12th, 2020 is when this planet's coming back. My basis on fact are about as good as the other ones. So,
Zeltodromus, you know what's great? Man.
I hope in another 10 years, there's someone out there doing some sort of podcast or like Mindcast, whatever they have then. And they're like, and on October 12th, 2020, Zell predicted that the world would end.
He was wrong, but I think what he meant, though, was the year 2122. Yeah. In October. I think that's what he meant, and we're going to go with that.
So I will say that most scientists who are presented with the hypothesis of this planet having some sort of, you know, 3,000, nearly 4,000 year solar cycle that's going to go around orbit, they would say that's impossible.
It's been here before then, many times, if that's the case.
By the physics that we know and the physics that we have used and which seem pretty accurate in predicting and things that happen throughout the universe, and you would have a planet if it were on that, like it's and the distance it would have to cover in that amount of time, and for these predictions, for these things to happen, like at the speed it would have to be traveling, it would have either flung itself into our sun in the last, you know, if this planet had formed in the same time that our planet had, you know, Earth had formed in the millions and millions, billions of years that our solar system has existed, it would have flung itself into the sun, or it would have reached escape velocity and it would be shooting out through our galaxy, just traveling between the stars, as there are some objects.
It would be a rogue planet at this point.
Right. A lot of these theories, a lot of physicists, a lot of astronomers are pretty adamant and pretty sure that this could not happen. We could not have a planet that exists like this or has the same kind of these numbers that these predictions are putting out are impossible, because you couldn't have a planet that travels like this. The orbits that these doomsday cultists or, you know, doomsayers, whatever, propose would be impossible for a planet to maintain that kind of orbit, you know, in the to be able to, and also to land near us. If it had traveled at some point, like even in 3,000 years, we'd still be able to examine evidence. We'd still be able to see evidence of its effect, its gravitational pull on our sun. There would be a like in the orbits of other planets, you'd be able to see the evidence. It looks very, very, very unlikely that there is some sort of giant planet that the size that, you know, Nancy describes this planet as being bigger than Jupiter, you know, basically an uncollapsed star, you know, having a extremely high density. You would be able to see the effects on other planets. Like the orbits would be jacked up. Everything would be messed up. Even if it's like Zell just said, if it were to pull debris, like if it were to pull debris to, behind it, we would still be able to see that debris in our telescopes. Like you'd still be able to see its evidence of like it traveling, pulling these things, like these.
Unless, you know, everything it's towing is there. Dark matter.
It's a dark sun. Towing dark sun, matter.
Dark matter. Dark planet.
But yeah, because if it's a 3,600 year orbit and we think this solar system's been here, what they think, like, oh, maybe 4 billion years. That's a lot of orbits of this one thing. You should be able to tell.
There'd be evidence of it. Easy evidence of it.
However, that doesn't mean that we've found every body in the solar system. If we're gonna if we're gonna go a scientific route, we don't know everything that's floating around out past poor old Planet Nine. Pluto has been removed from a planet to a dwarf planet status. There could be, so like, if you're gonna go, like, there may be something lurking out there.
Like in the Kepler, out in the Kepler belt or whatever.
Yeah, because they found
Kuiper belt.
They found Pluto. They found Eris. They found Sedna. These are other like dwarf planets that are way the fuck out there. So if you go with, there's something that they call, I think it's called Bode's Law, which is not, it's not mathematically or scientifically 100%, but it works okay for counting planets in a solar system. Within like so many percentage, it's not guaranteed. It didn't work for Uranus. It failed on that one. But what it says is it goes with like astronomical units. And it's like roughly like every orbit of the next planet's like 60% farther away, roughly, or something like that. So Earth is like 1.0. Mars is, these are, so an astronomical unit is the distance from the sun to Earth. That's where we go. And it's so many millions of kilometers. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. But they say if you go with this Bode's Law and you start jumping and jumping, most of them are within like a few percent of calculating the distance. So if you start jumping out there, they think there might be a Planet Nine, hypothetical, hard to prove because it probably doesn't emit light, something at like 614 astronomical units. So if you take in consideration, Pluto is at 38.8. So
it'll be something else.
So it'll be something way the fuck out there. And we talked about it last week's space news. Some people think there might be a object out there tugging
Neptune.
Tugging on the gravitational pull of those outer planets. So some people think there is an actual Planet Nine. Something at least as massive or more than Earth, but it's like, it doesn't, it's so far away.
On these guys out there.
Yeah. It's so far away that it doesn't emit light. So you can't see it. So you have to go with like mathematical probabilities and I don't know, damn, what else do we know about that? Cause it's a lot of people say no chance. And there's a few people that say, well,
there's some scientists. Yeah. That are like,
so there's still scientists are still gathering data about exactly what is outside of our solar system. Like you said, Pluto has been downgraded to a dwarf planet. They have since changed the definition of what it is to be a planet. Basically, that a planet has to exist in a stable, you know, concentric orbit with the other planets of its same size, and that it has to kind of clear the orbit that it's in. So, you know, we Earth has a relatively clear orbit. We don't pass through a bunch of things, stuff like that. Like Jupiter kind of does. Jupiter passes through stuff, but it's still kind of just a giant planet. Also, it has to, like I said, it has to have the concentric orbit. So all of the other planets, like up to Uranus, kind of have the same type of orbit on the same kind of plane that Earth does. And that Pluto has its own kind of weird little orbit. It's got this highly elliptical orbit where it kind of goes like, if you were to put them all on a plane, Pluto kind of goes at this weird angle that is like, you know, 30 degrees different from the other planets. And so, you know, when they changed the definitions, they were like, okay, well, you know, Pluto is a dwarf planet. Okay, well, we have these other stuff that we found out there orbiting around. And even in our, in our asteroid belt, there are things that can be considered dwarf planets like Ceres and other stuff like what was the other one that's out there? There's a Sedna or whatever, the one that's like floating out there.
Sedna, yeah.
But they're saying now that there are objects outside in the Kuiper belt. So the Kuiper belt is a relatively recent concept, and the Kuiper belt is the kind of all of the things that orbit outside of kind of Neptune, like trans-Neptunian. So anything that's outside Neptune's orbit is considered like the Kuiper belt. So there's all these things. There is this kind of theoretical It's like another asteroid belt, I suppose. And then you can, there are a lot of other objects that are kind of caught up in our sun's gravitational pull that kind of hang out there. So now you have scientists trying to kind of sort through the Kuiper belt. And then beyond the Kuiper belt, there's what is now, it's also theoretical, the Oort cloud or Oort cloud, which is another bunch of theoretical, a spherical kind of.
That's the edge of the solar system, technically, the Oort cloud.
Yeah, it's like a spherical debris field, really. Like the sun is picking up like a big dust ball. So it's like all this stuff that the sun is going through, you know, traveling around our galaxy, the center of our galaxy. And it's just like picking up stuff along the way. So that's your Oort cloud. So now scientists are kind of like searching through there. Now, scientists haven't fully explored these, you know, Kuiper belt and the Oort cloud. You know, you can't really explore this stuff because, like you said before, yeah, there's not a lot of light out there. So if stuff isn't reflecting light, we're not able to see it with our ground telescopes and things like that. But we're putting up new telescopes all the time. We're going to put up the new, is it the Webb telescope, James Webb?
James
telescope
Webb
going up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that one comes online, you know, that's going to be big shit. So
did you imagine they launched the James Webb and they're just like, oh shit, it's coming.
She was right.
First day, turn it on. right now, you know, some scientists say that there's kind of like this informal race to find these other dwarf planets. Zell mentioned before that that some scientists believe that they found evidence that there is some sort of object traveling through the Kuiper belt. Their hypothesis or their evidence that they cite is that there's kind of like a weird pull on some of the objects outside in the Kuiper belt. Like there has to be something traveling through that area to make this, these concentrations of debris or objects that they see with their telescopes, you know. But the thing is that more data is coming in. And since scientists said that, which was a while ago, now the hypothesis has kind of evolved where it's like, actually, the more that we look through the Kuiper belt, the more objects that we're finding. So it now fits a more uniform model. So now it's more a uniform distribution of these objects. So they're the evidence for a large Earth-like planet or something floating around there is getting pretty slim. If there's more dwarf planets out there, that's still totally possible. But something like an actual planet that could perhaps at one time, you know, had oceans or is the size of Jupiter, or
oceans, you
know, 24 times the size of Jupiter, as Nancy Leader would propose, is kind of,
I she think was, many, she was reaching most at scientists that point.
And astronomers would be like, that's impossible.
She at that point, she's going for clicks because she's 0-2. She's like, I gotta make this even better.
Yeah. What do you mean? Let's at call that it, point,
let's go bigger.
I think she's been going for clicks the let's entire time.
Well, maybe the first one, maybe she got contacted. She got it completely wrong. Started backpedaling. It's like, well, I got to double down. Got it even more wrong. And then started swinging. But yeah, as far as this one goes, let's do some quick conclusions. I think we can all agree. But Braden, what do you think?
Well, I think Nancy is full of shit. I think she's taken Stinchin's work and added on to it and made her own thing with, and you know, she's made a very well, she's made a very good little side hustle for herself with Zeta Talk. But at what point can you keep making predictions and then keep claiming yourself to be, you know, psychic? This is just like me being like, hey, listen, motherfuckers, everyone listen to this. I'm psychic and the world's going to end. Everyone thinks it's going to end 2020. It's not really. You think 2020 is bad? Just wait until February 3rd, 2021, because that shit's about to fucking. Your minds are going to blow up because not Planet Nibiru or Planet X, Planet 12. I know I'm jumping ahead, That's how weird of an orbit this thing's on. It's actually planet 12.
Planet XII.
That was Sitchin's book, called it planet 12. He also counted the moon and the sun. And the sun.
Yeah, well, he's an idiot. I do not count those. I'm talking these are other planets. XII. February 2021. Look out. It's going to be a mess.
You heard it here first.
And if by then shit hasn't happened, well, and I'll move the needle.
Change the map.
Better start buying toilet paper.
The scripts were wrong.
Buy all that toilet paper while you can.
Andrew, what do you think?
No, I think Nancy's a very believable individual. I think she just had some hard time with her. No, she's full of shit. She's launched her website. She's selling fucking survival tactics for the end of the world. I don't know, man. I don't buy it for a goddamn second. She's 0-4. Zelstradamus has got a better record than her. All right?
Dude, Dan?
As far as Nancy's theories go, I don't think there's very much evidence supporting any of her stuff. She is, 0-3. I think Nancy is definitely full of shit. Whether there's more dwarf planets or planetoids out in the Kuiper Belt or Oort cloud to discover, that's still something up in the air. We very much have not explored volumetrically. We've only explored a small part of our solar system.
Nothing. Barely nothing.
Everything outside of that is like, we haven't seen what's really out there. There could be something out there, but is there something that's going to like smash through our planet, or has some place in the past disrupted our thing? I really don't think so. Really don't think that's happened.
Unless there's a dark matter, dark energy body that we can't see or detect. There's no giant planet coming through inner solar system anytime soon. But yes, scientists know there's still countless untold rocks floating out there we haven't identified. Size-wise, I have no idea. I don't know what's physically possible, but I always think
size isn't everything, Zell. All right?
100%.
Zell's not everything.
It's motion.
Damn straight.
Anyways, but it's like, I hate when people say like, we know everything about this. There's no chance that it could be this. They're like, well, absolutes don't ever really work that well in science. Like you always get to a point where like something breaks down, like our equations start to break down when you start getting into quantum mechanics and all this stuff, like unknowing what's out there. So I think there's other stuff floating around. Do I think it's a 23 times larger than Jupiter, vertically challenged planet of color? No, I do not.
Very eloquently put, Zell.
Thank you. Got that. Nailed it. I think I nailed it that time.
I think so too.
What do you want to get into next?
Well, why don't we get into a little space news?
Ooh, new graphic.
Ooh.
That's been there for a while.
New graphic?
You never see it?
I have not seen it until today.
Scientists are calling for a serious study of unidentified aerial phenomenon. This is coming off the heels of basically the government saying that the Gimlet, the Tic Tac, those videos are of objects that are, they have no idea what the fuck these things are. And secondly, that they have a craft of unknown origins, not of this earth, that is still yet to be refuted. Let's put that out there. Now scientists are saying, all right, well, we need to get a serious study going of unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Yeah.
Interesting times.
I mean, the Navy has the unidentified aerial phenomenon task force that they started back in August after the announcement that, yes, has not been refuted, even though maybe it was misquoted about having off-world vehicles. Still have not seen any more news about that. It's crazy. Nothing else was ever said about it again, right?
We still have to take it at face value what that article said, since they refuted other claims in the article.
Except that line. Except the quote. So? The COVID pandemic has overshadowed everything, including that aliens are real and we got their craft. Dan, it does not say that. He says they have off-world vehicles.
It doesn't not say that.
Yeah, you got to admit, though, Dan, that claim has not been refuted yet. Even if it was misquoted, no one's ever came out and said, like, well, actually, he said this, and we just took this version of the quote. I haven't even seen that story yet, so it's still crazy. Either way, fucking crazy.
So I've only seen those ones. Yeah, sure. Why not? UAP a test force. Get on the job. Do it.
Let's get it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
You sure? Give me some UFOs. Give me some proof.
Asteroid Bennu carries organic material consistent. You done?
No.
You done?
Keep going, no. Piano consistent necktie. Let's go.
With the ingredients for life.
That's correct.
Basically, they found this asteroid Bennu, and they think it's in orbit since 2018. They've been looking at this thing, and now they're looking at it and they're going, this thing has all the ingredients of life.
With that, and also even cooler, is that they're going to bounce a probe off the surface collecting material to be analyzed later. The OSIRIS Rex. Yeah. A probe.
Like crash into it?
No, they said it's going to bounce. So I'm guessing it's going to gently skim the surface, scooping up some material, and then they're going to try and
get
this probe.
It's going to crash.
Well, scoops.
Good chance it's probably going to crash and blow up. But
it's going to crash. There's no fucking bouncing off an object. It's just going to fucking go and scoop, crash, bounce off, and then they're going to...
Two scoops of raisins, fucking bingo, bango, bongo, breakfast, fucking problem solved. Easy peas.
Hey.
I'm hungry.
But if they actually can bounce this probe off the surface, scoop up some material, it'll be the first of its kind to return it back to Earth. If it works.
Badass.
Yeah.
So that's fucking pretty cool. So that's, when's that supposed to happen? Soon.
Bring me home a symbiote. That's all I ask. Just get me one.
Mm.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
It said in just a few days. So this is on October 9th. So it could be today.
Okay, well, could be I'm today ready for they're my bouncing symbiote. It. I'm waiting.
October 20th on NASA's website says that's when they're looking to bounce this baby off the surface of that asteroid. And
I can wait that long.
We'll see what happens. Stay tuned.
Okay.
There may be a planet out there better suited to life than Earth.
For sure.
Basically, maybe Earth isn't as easy to form life as we think, and that there is better means. They've started to look at what astronomers have called, in quotes, super habitable planets for years. But now we may have found our first few candidates. Among thousands of exoplanets beyond our solar system, Schmaltz Makuch and his colleagues.
Whoa. What the fuck did you just say? Backtrack right now. Say that name one more time.
Among the thousands of exoplanets beyond our solar system, Schmaltz Makuch and his colleagues. I guarantee you that's the exact pronunciation.
Schmaltz Makuch?
It's not. It's just the greatest name
Schmaltz
I've ever
Makuch
heard.
Call Schmaltz Makuch right now.
Get him on the line. Get him on the line.
His colleagues have identified two dozen that appear to be more hospitable than Earth in at least one respect.
Right.
So these two motherfuckers... I don't know if it's two motherfuckers or one hyphenated motherfucker.
Schmaltz
Either way,
and Makuch.
Well, it's Schmaltz hyphen Makuch, but Schmaltz I don't know if Makuch. It's two or one, but they're looking, they're like, hey, listen, there's better places to live. There's better places to live.
I'm on it. Put me on the next shuttle out. Let's go.
Let's get out.
Yeah.
Plans going down the tube.
The closest one is only 124 light years away, and they're calling it a super habitable planet. There's plenty of regions. I found this article on sciencealert.com. You can look it up if you want. What else do I got? That's all I had for space news. Did I have anything else? Do you guys have anything?
No, that's good space news for today. I'm really excited about that probe bouncing off that fucking comet or asteroid. Yeah. That's going to be dope.
Ba-ding!
Pretty excited
let's get
for
into
Schmaltz Makuch.
Schmaltz Makuch.
Schmaltz Makuch.
Schmaltz Makuch.
Find us some planets.
Why don't we go to a UFO case file of the week. Let's see what we got.
Let's do it.
Randomatron, the most non-annoying machine on the market today. Here we go.
Yeah.
Come on, you little fuck. Oh, what's it gonna be?
Woof.
Oh,
it's on.
Mongoose file.
Fuck yeah. All right, hold on. I gotta get in the right mindset for this. Hold on. All right, I'm ready. I'm fucking ready.
Wow.
Sweet crickets, I'm ready. All right, so at the beginning of these things, obviously, we know that this happened to a friend of a friend of a friend of mine. But in order for me to tell the story, I'm going to have to say the first person so it sounds good, right?
Yep. Mm.
So I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here and just, you know, assume that this happened in a coastal city somewhere, you know. We could probably describe it best as a city somewhat like British Columbia, you know. Nice
somewhere
place.
In British Columbia, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So, okay. You know, run-of-the-mill night. Early evening, let's say 8 a.m., call comes in. Drop 911 call. Zero description of the event. All that we know is that a friend of a friend of a friend of ours is going to a ritzier area of a coastal city, I know, that mostly reserved for the wealthy that live in. So they pull up to this address, and it's a very nice house. Big, big gated community. Drive up. Shrubbery all the way up, big, big doors. Get there, bang on the door. Nobody answers. A lot of the times that happens, you assume maybe the person's suffering from an emergency and can't come to the door, so you let yourself in. Luckily, the doors were open, didn't have to call for backup to break the doors down. Now you get in and you immediately kind of call out to be like, hey, you know, so-and-so ambulance service, we're here to help. You know, is anybody there? Can you hear us? You know, yell out. Nobody answers. Lights are off. You know, as soon as you walk in, you see this giant grand staircase. You see a piano. It's very dark, and it's like, it seems like just nobody's home. It's kind of, you know, it's very peculiar, eerie vibe. Feels like the Moonlit Sonata should be playing from, like, fucking Resident Evil. You're like, this is kind of, I'm getting heebie-jeebies. You know, so yeah. You can need to walk around this big, beautiful front entrance of this home yelling, hey, you know, is anybody there? Can you hear us? And, you know, you can't help but see, like, beautiful artwork on the walls. And, you know, as you keep walking, you see all these diplomas, you know, and they look to be, like, I'm assuming they're medical diplomas. You can't really tell because they're written what looks to be German. You can't really tell. As we continue walking, you can see kind of a light coming from a staircase leading to a basement. So you're like, okay, this is fucking spooky. And believe it or not, our friend of a friend of ours is a little bit of a pussy like myself. So he's already being like, this is kind of creepy. I'm not enjoying this very much. So they descend down the staircase and continue calling out. And all of a sudden you can kind of hear these faint mumbles, right? Faint mumbles. But it can't really make it out. Doesn't really make much sense. Walk down the staircase and you have this... immaculate basement. It's like you walked into like almost like a surgery room. Everything's beautifully clean. Everything's marble and white tile, like everywhere. It's just, and these bright, bright, like blinding fucking lights. And you're like, this is fucking weird, man. Like just getting some like super like serial killer vibes from this basement all of a sudden, right? And the mumbles keep getting louder and louder and louder. And you keep yelling and yelling and yelling. And you get to this big open room. And there's a chair. And you can see this man slouched on top of this, what looks to be potentially a woman. And the woman's not moving. And all you can see is pieces of her face folded forward. And you're like, what the fuck is happening here? It looks like this man is eating this woman, like instantly filled your pants, like, what the fuck is happening? And you yell, like, hey, whoa, like, what's going on? Like, is everybody okay? And the guy's not looking up.
Hey, ho, ho.
Yeah, like, hey, exactly. Ho, ho. Like, you're trying to,
what's
like...
What's going on?
I'm doing our best impression here to, like, startle him and be like, stop eating her face. Just stop. You know, and...
Knock it off.
Just don't. Just no. Fucking don't.
Hey.
Like, if I had a water bottle, I'd spray it.
Quit.
And be like,
no.
Stop it.
No.
Quit it.
And like, you're like instantly like this man is lurched over this woman and her face looks like it's like peeled off. And you're like, is this man eating her fucking face? And I'm like, I have to get closer because nobody's fucking answering me right now. And I don't want to because this is disgusting. And you get closer. And it turns out that this man was giving this woman a black market facelift.
Oh, fuck.
And had a fucking stroke and stroked out on top of her and went semi-unconscious and couldn't speak because he was aphasic and he was only making mumbles. But yeah, it was horrifying.
Fuck.
Absolutely horrifying.
How'd the facelift turn out?
Not good because he stroked out halfway through it. And usually you're only supposed to be making incisions from like the base of the fucking earlobe up to like basically like the top of the forehead. And he went like all the way up. And she was like scalped almost. It was bad. It wasn't good.
The lengths we go for beauty.
Moral of the story, do not get black market facelifts. Get normal ones. Just pay for it.
Money.
If you want one, just get it. Braden's going on his third, and he looks pretty good.
If you really can't afford one in North America,
I got a good guy.
Go to Turkey. Go somewhere cheaper. You can get it done there still professionally. It just costs you less.
Yeah. The boys are going to Turkey to get hair transplants.
Damn
so.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
Case file 180.
What are we doing with our Spotify
money?
We're all
going to have fucking golden fucking mullets.
What are we doing with our Spotify
business
money?
Front,
we're going to Turkey.
In the back.
Listen, we're getting gold-plated diapers, and we're going to Turkey and getting hair transplants.
Boom.
It's fucking happening. Book it.
All right, I'm going to give a theorite of the week. This week's theorite of the week, I'm giving it to Brandon Imada for...
Brandon Imada.
The picture of Braden's face reflecting in Morpheus's sunglasses with the blue pill and the silica pack.
Genius.
Packs.
That was great.
Don't eat those.
Yeah.
Don't eat those.
I mean, if you do.
Say that enough.
If you do,
we
and you live.
We may have made a joke about eating them. Don't eat them.
If you do eat them and you do live, call us. Tell us about it. We want to know.
You'll get really sick.
But don't eat them.
Don't eat them.
Anyways,
don't eat them.
If you want to.
Don't become woke.
Yeah.
Unless
you can become
want
woke
to.
Other ways than eating the silica pack. But if you want to see that picture, go to our Facebook page and join the Theorite Facebook group. That's where all the good shit is. It'll be in there and it'll also be on Discord. And I think the last thing we're going to do this week, I'm going to read some new fucking.
It's Patreon. What we all been waiting for, baby.
New
play it.
Yeah,
Patreon.
The fucking Zeltron
just
music.
Fucking play it, Zell. Stop talking and lay it on us, brother.
My shoulders have been waiting.
You're Woo. Gonna get so sick of the song.
No, we won't.
You better make
sick.
Another
I was,
one.
I was like humming this song the other day. Like it just popped into my head. I was like, I don't what?
All right, Patreons supporting the week of October 5th to October 12th. We got Sir Dubbingsley.
Dubbingsley.
Michelle Hester. Evan Arnacious. Arnacious, maybe, perhaps. Kristen Leroy. Melissa Sparks. Tom Gregory. Jay Foles. And Kyle Weir. If you want to support your boys and get early access to Case Files, the live stream, all our bonus episodes and everything we do, head over to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or find the link in this podcast description. And that's it for this week. Brain's too drunk. Say your sign-off line, bitch.
Keep those eyes on the skies.
Stick around for after hours if you're on Patreon.